Glory. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. You're wondering if I was going to tell you to be seated? I just recently I married off my second daughter, and we were doing the rehearsal, and I told them during the rehearsal, I said, "Now, if I don't tell you to sit down when the time comes, I want you to," everybody that was there, I was like, "I want you guys to sit down," because I did early on, I did a wedding for some people, and they didn't sit down because I didn't tell them, and everybody at the wedding stood up the entire time. And I never knew it. I mean, I was standing anyway. You know, they don't give me a chair. My wife told me afterwards. Wasn't that so kind of her? What an honor to speak to you this morning. This is my favorite church. You folks, for years now, I mean, we've been a part of the Rhema family, and we've always come back home, and the people in this church have always been so gracious and so loving. And, you know, over the years, you go through things, you have difficulties. What I want to talk to you about today, I want to talk to you about the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is Unshakable: Faith That Outlasts the Storms. But over the years, coming home, there were times where I would come here maybe for a conference, or maybe we would just have an occasion where we could get away and we could come and be with our Rhema family. We would come and attend church. Over the years, since I graduated in 2006, and that right there, if nothing else blows your mind today, the fact that I graduated in 2006 yet looks so young still is amazing to all of you, I know, and thank you for thinking that. But over the years, sometimes we came here and we had been facing hardships. Things were tough. Other times we were rejoicing because all things were going well. But a consistent in our life was the grace and the compassion and the kindness that all of you have always shown. Not just to me, but to other people. We just got an opportunity to do that again at camp meeting, and I appreciate you so much for doing that. I know that our pastoral staff and Pastor Mrs. Hagen, Pastor Denise, Pastor Craig appreciate that so much. Thank you for always being so gracious. And if that doesn't get you to say amen while I'm preaching today, well, then nothing will. No. I'm going to talk to you out of Acts chapter 27. And this is the story we're going to be talking about. You know, when Paul, he begins his voyage to Rome as a prisoner, and you know the story. After he's appealed to Caesar, he's placed in custody, and he's on his way there, and there's a storm that comes up while he's on this journey. They go through Asia Minor. At one point, you know, they take shelter in Cyprus and stuff. But we want to look at this because I think there's some things about this storm and about us as believers remaining unshakable in the face of our storms. So I'll read our main text. You believe God with me. We're going to start Acts 27, beginning with verse 20. It says, "Now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, 'Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives.' Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also. If by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, pulling out to sea, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive, and running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lighted the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days," everybody say many days. And no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. I told you so. That's what I hear when I read that. And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whom I belong to and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. And so my first point to you this morning is understanding that there are going to be storms. They're just a part of life. You're going to have storms. Now, I don't know. At one point, I think I had the idea that if you were doing everything right, that a storm would never come up in your life. But I didn't get that from the Bible. Because we can read in the Bible and there are people who are out of the will of God and face storms. There are people that are in the will of God and face storms. Storms are just a part of living life here. It's interesting to note that this particular class of storm, some people, you know, there are some storms that we give names to. This storm in particular is called Euroclydon. That type of the storm or the wind. Read some different things about, you know, what that was referencing. But when a storm is large enough that you're not just saying it's raining a little bit, you know, we give hurricanes names, right? Although I don't feel like I've ever had as much trouble out of my girls as my son. I don't know why we don't call them hemicanes. Some of you look over at your spouse and tell them what that meant. And no, that's a terrible joke. Shame on those of you that laughed at it. So... Euroclydon. So it's got a name. Well, I don't know about you, but I've had some storms in my life that have had some names. I dealt with depression for a while in my life, and that's a named storm. Poverty has been a named storm that I've experienced before in my life. Some people have named storms in their life like marital problems. Some people have named storms in their life like problems with their children. But there are things that are so significant in our life that we specifically identify that this storm came up in my life and we recognize there was hardship, there was difficulty around that. But how many of you know those things happened to you before you were born again? There were problems that you would have in your life. But since you've been born again, you've had problems. Things come up, right? It's part of living in this world. As a pastor for many years, I've watched believers struggle with discouragement because they assume that a storm means that they're outside of God's will. Or they'll assume that, you know, maybe God is the one doing this to them to teach them something. Or, you know, maybe God has somehow forsaken them. I'll be honest with you, even in my own life for years, the last person that I ever blamed for storms was me. You know, it had to be somebody else's fault. But, you know, I think you reach a level of arrogance when you say it couldn't be me, it had to be God. Okay, thank you for that rousing burst of silence. I appreciate it. Woo, glory. The scripture tells us in John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus prepared us for adverse conditions, that there were going to be difficulties that come up in our lives. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want you to understand this today, if you don't get anything else out of what I've said, that the presence of a storm does not mean the absence of God. You know, when when we look in the Old Testament and God would tell Israel, he'd say, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, the scripture tells us, lo, I am with you always. That's why I don't fly. No. Okay, these are some of my best jokes. I tried them out on my wife. They worked at the house. He's told us that he would be with us. He's told us he would never leave us. He's always there. Even when we're going through storms, God is there. Now, don't think because I'm talking about the fact that you're going to face storms, I'm not building a doctrine in you that every day has to be a rainy day. But just recognize that there are going to be some times that things come up that are going to be hard for us to handle. But there's good news, and we'll show you that today. Some of the storms in our lives are avoidable. Amen. Going back to Acts 27, it says this in, let's see where we're at, verses 9 through 11. It says, when much time had been spent, sailing now was dangerous because the fast was already over. Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Some storms are avoidable. Couldn't they have avoided this storm? There are storms that are going to come up in our lives that we have a part to play in. And based on decisions that we make, there have been lots of times in my life that I can't blame anybody else but Hurricane Robbie. Now, you can't call me Robbie. I had a student one day, I said that about myself, and my wife calls me Robbie. And he said, can I call you Robbie? And I said, can I call you darling? So he didn't do it anymore. But there, yeah, he didn't think that was as funny as y'all did. There are some storms that came up in my life that have been caused by me. I've caused difficulties in my own life because good, sound advice that would have kept me free from problems, I didn't listen to. But those kind of storms are avoidable. I remember when I was 15 years old, I didn't have my license yet. My brother did have his license. I've got a brother, he's a missionary that's a couple of years older than me. And when you look at him, you can tell he's old. I was just hoping he was watching. He's a couple of years older than me, so he already had his license and he already had a car. And he had a 1979 Chevette with shag rug carpet, red, hatchback. Ain't no fancy car. But it's a stick shift. And we had spent the night with some friends. Our parents let us go hang out with these friends of ours. And my brother, you know, had wheels underneath him. So they let us go over and drive this car over there. Well, I got up earlier than everybody. They were all still sleeping. And I got bored. And I convinced my brother to let me take that 79 Chevette. And I got in that. We lived out in the country. Like, you people out there were country like squirrel gravy. I got my people out there. I heard you. Some of y'all know what squirrel gravy is. It was country folks, a lot of rock roads out there. And so I'm driving my brother's car out there on this road. And y'all know what fishtailing is, where you make the back end kind of. Well, I found out that I could downshift that car on that gravel. And so I did it just a little bit. That 79 Chevette was going back and forth. I didn't say Chevelle, Chevette. And I started doing it, and I did it a little more. And it started fishtailing a little bit more. I thought, man, this is kind of fun. So I gave it a little more gas, and then I downshifted, and I did it again. I put that thing in a ditch higher than this platform. It started going out of control and went in a ditch, and thank God nothing happened to me. But in my lightning fast mind, when it did happen, I thought, okay, I can drive it out of here. I couldn't, spoiler alert. I couldn't drive it out of there. And that triggered Hurricane Dad. My dad found out about that and he was hot. He came over there to help us and we couldn't get the car out of there. Actually, the back end of the car, there was a culvert in the ditch and the back end of it had somehow come up off the ground, because while I was in there, in my lightning fast mind, thinking I could get it to drive it out of there, I started it back up and it ran. So I put it in gear and I hit the gas and it didn't do anything. It was because the wheels were up in the air and it was just kind of, yeah. So my dad came and, oh man, he was mad. My brother was mad. My dad was mad. Why would God do that to me? you ever had the Lord wreck your Chevette? Of course not. God didn't have anything to do with that storm in my life. That was all me, right? I'll tell you when it was a little more serious for somebody else. My father-in-law always used to take me, we'd go fishing up at where we live between two rivers, the Ohio and the Mississippi River, a couple of lake systems, Tennessee River runs in there. So some really big lakes back home in Kentucky. Barkley Lake is real close to us. Kentucky Lake is close to us. People would go fishing below the dam at Barkley Lake. And you could fish there. It was fine. There was kind of a, like there was an area that was blocked off that you couldn't go to. But some people would skirt just as close to that as they could. My father-in-law was telling me a story. I was fishing with him one day, and he was telling me, man, I was out here not too long ago, and these guys, they had pulled up there, and they put their anchors out down there. And he's like, that's bad news, because they'll give you a warning. You'll hear a horn, and then they open it up, and they release water. Well, you do not want to be tethered to anything when it happens. And he was telling me that when that horn went off, everybody that was close to there moved, but these guys were pulling up their anchors. And that water comes off of turbines at the bottom of that, and it bubbles up out of the water, and that's how the water starts, and then it starts flowing through there. Well, it filled these guys' boat. It capsized it. Their cooler went down because they couldn't get it out of there in time. Well, that was a storm in their life, but it wasn't caused by the devil. God didn't cause their trouble. It was an avoidable storm. I think lots of times we go through storms in our lives because we've got onboard assistance. We had it before cars had it, because we've got the greater one on the inside. We'll get something in our hearts. We'll get a check, and we'll override that. And then we stand there scratching our heads wondering, why am I going through this storm? But the reality is, if we think back, God was trying to help us ahead of time. You know, howbeit when the Spirit comes, he shall guide you into all truth, and he'll show you things to come. Maybe I could have known about those things, and I could have avoided that. One way to eliminate a lot of storms in your life is to just learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and not just listen, but obey. And there's a difference, right? I mean, listening to somebody talk and then doing what they say is a lot different. Amen? So there are some storms that are avoidable. Jonah, you think about his storm. Jonah, verses 1:1-4 in chapter 1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind of the sea, and there was a mighty tempest of the sea, so that the ship was broken up. Jonah ran from God and right into a storm. But the question is, was it avoidable? Did he have to go through a storm? Or could he have just heard and obeyed? Amen? There are times that we make decisions that lead us out of safety and right into problems. So there are some storms that can be avoided. But there are also some storms that are inevitable. Time elapses so quickly here. What time do we get done? No, I'm just kidding. You think I didn't know before I got up here? Sorry. Some storms are inevitable. Paul didn't just face one storm in his life, he faced many. And how many of you know Paul was following God? The Apostle Paul was following God. But 2 Corinthians 11:25 tells us some things. It says, three times I was beaten with rods. 2 Corinthians 11:25, once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day in the deep. Here's a side note for you. Don't ever take Paul fishing. We live in a fallen world with an active adversary who wants to derail us through storms. If we'll avoid all the storms that we can avoid, we can do ourselves a lot of good, but we have to recognize that there will be some storms that come up in our lives that will cause us trouble because we have an adversary. See, God's going to set us on a path. I say all the time that just like when I was in the military we all had general orders. I was in the Navy. It's been a long time ago. You say how long? Approximately 30 pounds ago. So There were general orders that we all had, but then there were direct orders that were specific to an individual or a group of people. And so in this path that you're going to go on, God wants you to fulfill the divine plan that he has for your life. He wants you to be able to run your race, finish your course. Amen. But the devil is not on your side. Right? And we live life in this fallen world, and there are difficulties that come up. You can avoid some of the storms, but some of the storms that you're going to have to go through in life are going to cause you problems, and it may not be you that caused the problems. It could be the enemy. It could be decisions somebody else makes. That's why, you know, it's real important that anytime you can avoid being around people that you ought not be around, you keep yourself out of those situations as well, because somebody else could make a decision that could cause you trouble, right? I mean, the Apostle Paul started out this conversation. He's like, I perceive that this voyage is going to be, you know, let's don't go. Well, he wasn't in charge. And so he went. And there were problems, just like he said. Isn't that right? Reminds me of a story. I had some people that went to my church one time, and they came to me and they said, we're going to go on a family cruise, and we want you and your wife to go with us. And a smaller church, you know, don't ask me to go on a cruise. They offered to pay for the cruise. Don't offer to pay for it. I just disqualified myself from that. Don't offer to pay for my cruise. I'm just telling you this story, okay? But they said, we'll pay half your cruise. So for you to go, and all you'll have to do is pay one ticket so that both of you can go. Which made the cruise real cheap. And they were like, we'll give you all your space, and you don't have to hang out with us. We just want you there. And I thought, man, this is kind. This is really nice. So over the years, I've talked about their kindness that they had extended to us. And I share that story, and I'm like, yeah, you know, these people that we went to church with, they even paid for half the trip one time for us to go with them. And it was just about a year or two ago, one of them pulled me over to the side, and they said, we got to be honest with you. When we paid for half of that trip, we wanted to go as a family. We weren't really looking for you to go, but my uncle is a little superstitious. Maybe he's not superstitious. Maybe he's just stitious. But he said, I'm not going on some ship where there can be storms, things can wreck, all this stuff. He said, unless you can get the preacher to go, because I don't think God would let it sink if he's on it. Some of your storms ain't gonna have nothing to do with me. Somebody else doesn't control all your storms, but the adversary might bring some storms. If you didn't cause a storm, the adversary might bring some. The scripture says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You've got a plan for your life. You've got some things that God wants you to do. Maybe he's already laid out some, you know, mapped some things out for you. The scripture tells us the steps of a good man are order to the Lord. So maybe you've got some order to those steps, but the enemy is going to try to throw storms into your path to try to keep you from reaching that point that God has for you. And even though you've got the right plan, you know you're headed in the right direction, that's no indication that the enemy won't show up. Mike Tyson said one time, he said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. It's what you do when you get punched in the face that you say, what are we going to do now? That's the question. Am I going to lay down and give up? It's what the enemy wants you to do. You know, there are some people that will go through a storm in their life and things will get hard. They'll even know that they're on the path that God has called them to. But the enemy will bring a storm up when they're getting ready to take the next step in the journey just to keep them from ever even setting sail beyond that point. Just to keep your boat from getting in the water. When those storms come, we have to recognize that we're going to make it anyway. Amen? There'll be times in the middle of your plan that you'll get a storm that comes that feels just like a punch in the mouth. What matters is what we do next. Do you stay down or do you rise up and move beyond the storm? Matthew 8, 23 and 27, we see another storm. They were following God. They were with Jesus. The disciples were with Jesus. Says when they got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. He wasn't sweating it. Then his disciples came to him and woke him and said, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Even when Jesus is in your boat, storms may come. But his presence means that peace is possible. Matthew 14, 24 through 33, we see it says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. It's interesting that when he saw the wind and waves, I believe the enemy brings external storms into our lives. Because how many of you know, your storm is not going on in your spirit. If you're born again, it's external pressure. And when the wind is blowing and the rains are coming and the waves are rising, it gets us to look at things. Well, you and I are oftentimes sight-driven. When we ought to be spirit led. Now, I'm not just preaching to you right now. I'm talking to me. Many times we're sight driven when we should be spirit led. And so the enemy knows that. And so he brings externals for us to get our eyes somewhere else. Oh, but when you turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, the things of the earth grow strangely dim. I love that song. In the light of his glory and grace. When Peter was looking at the wind and the waves, he was sinking. But when he looked at Jesus, oh, glory to God. Jesus came over and he rose up and they walked back to the boat. Amen. Amen. Even when you're with Jesus, there could be some storms though. So here's my last point this morning. My first point is storms are avoidable. Some storms. My second point is some storms are inevitable. But my last point is this. All storms are overcomable. No matter the cause of the storm that we're facing, God can always see us through if we stay with him. If we stay with him, no matter what the storm is, he'll always see us through. Acts 27, 25, the Apostle Paul, he said, therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Paul didn't have control of the ship. He was a prisoner. He didn't have clear skies. What he did have was a word from God. And if we'll look at things through heaven's perspective, from heaven's point of view, I can remember one time I was flying. I think we were going to Florida because the sun always shines in Florida. Well, at least that's what I was told. That's what the brochure said. And we were flying in and it was raining. And I was a little bummed out. And as we're lifting off, it's raining. I'm like, I don't want to fly in a storm. I don't want to look at rain. I want to go to sunny Florida and just be happy. And so as we were rising up, we got to a level that we were above the storms. And you know what I found above the clouds? The sun is always shining. Just because we're going through something and the pressure is on and the clouds drop just above us, we got to remember the God we serve from where he sits on high, he sees what we're going through and he said he'd never leave us and he said he'd never forsake us. And where he's at, the sun is always shining. And there's going to be a moment when the clouds break forth and God's going to bring us through and we're going to see things like he sees them. The sun is always shining above the clouds. Glory to God. When Jonah didn't have his head on straight and decided to disobey God, and they threw him off the ship, God saw to it that there was a fish there to to keep. You know, I used to think a little differently about that whole story. I used to think, you know, he's jumping off the ship. God's got him in this, you know, I'm going to teach you a lesson in here. We're going to get you in the big fish. And really, if that fish hadn't have showed up, he'd have died. It's by the grace of God. And so even if I'm the one that caused my problem or caused my storm, God's able to. Now, I'm not recommending you have a live your life trying to get swallowed up by a fish to rescue you. But when you need it, God will provide it. Amen. Whenever the disciples were on the boat, Matthew 8, looking back at that again, notice it says, when he said, "O ye of little faith," it says he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. In Matthew 14, when Peter said, "Lord, save me," it says immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. So my point here is this: no matter, yes, storms are going to come. Sometimes they're of our own making. Sometimes we can't have any control over them when they do come. Sometimes the adversary finds an inroad into our lives while we're following God. But if we'll stick with Jesus, if we'll just hold on to his hand, if we'll just put our trust in him, the circumstance every time is that we'll always come through. There have been times where I've done things and I've caused my own problems. There have been times where I've had bills that piled up and I didn't think, how am I ever going to get out of this? I remember still distinctly, I can take you to the place where a doctor leaned in, put his hand on my knee, and he said, "We think this problem that you have, sir, is a neurological problem. We're going to do an MRI, but we think you've got something going on." I was having crazy, problems in my eyes, and I went to a specialist, this neurosurgeon. I went to an ENT first because I was having these dizzy spells and stuff, and I go in there and I can remember this guy, he leaned in and he said, "We think this is neurological," and I thought, man, I don't have what it takes to handle what I'm up against. I thought I was going under, and the devil was whispering in my ear, "I'm going to kill you by the time you're 30 I know you're thinking, "How old are you now? You only look about 30. Thank you again. I'll be 50 soon. And what I know today is God is faithful and the devil's a liar. What do we have that helps us to remain unshakable? How can we be unshakable in the face of our storms? We may not always know everything, but what we do know is this: we've got a God who loves us and he forgives us when we mess up. We've got a word from him that says, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." Just like Paul, when he said that he had heard from the Lord, we have a word from God and we have access to his indwelling, abiding presence anytime we need him. Psalm 46 verses 1-3 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and are troubled." You could say, though the waves are crashing, though it's raining harder than it ever has, though I'm facing a circumstance that I never got through, though this one looks like the one that's going to take me under, this one is my Euroclodon. In the face of all of it, God is still faithful. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to share with our church family today. Lord, I don't know what kind of struggles they're all going through, Lord, but whatever they're going through today, I thank you, Lord, that you are the need meter. You are the way maker. You're the calmer of every storm. Lord, that whatever we face, if it's a storm we've caused, Lord, if the enemy has found inroad into our life, we know this one thing, that we will not turn our backs. We'll not turn away. We're looking unto you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. No matter what we're facing, no matter the hurt, we're looking to you. Every one of you in this building, if you're dealing with something today and it seems like it's insurmountable, oh, glory to God, I want you to turn your eyes back on Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm gonna turn my eyes on you. Oh, I turn my eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Would you sing that with me one more time as you stand to your feet? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely. Close with this. I want to give an invitation, but I want to tell you a story first. Yesterday, I was doing some shopping. I was with my wife, and I went into a store, and like I always do, I think it's important that you greet people. Even if you're having a bad day, you always make sure that you're kind to other people. If you're going to flesh out, go home and do it, and don't let anybody see it. You're a Christian, glory to God. Be kind to people. Why? It's the most valuable thing there is. It's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. And I was in a store and I was getting ready to check out and I was paying for my stuff. And I said to the young lady across from me, I said, "How are you today, ma'am?" She said, "I'm not doing really well. Not too good." She kind of put her head down. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm real sorry about that." I said, "I hope your day gets better." And I saw her name tag and I said, "Wow," I said, "Gabriella." I said, "What a nice name." I said, "Is that a family name?" And I began to see tears rolling down her face. And you know, she's working, so I'm not going to just, you know, take up all of her time right there. What I said was, "Hey, Miss Gabriella," I said, "it looks like you're having a really hard time." I told her I was a minister here in town. I told her where I went to church. I said, "I want you to know," I said, "that I believe that God can help you." And I said, "When I leave," I said, "I'm going to go outside that door and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bring your name up to the Lord. And I just want you to know that somebody's praying for you." And she thanked me and then I left and I got a check. I was like, "You should invite her to church." So I went back and I'm like, awkward. I was like, "Miss Gabrielle," I said, "I'm not weird or anything." I said, "But hey," I said, "I wanted to give you our church times." And I gave her a piece of paper. I said, "You can watch online or you can come and you visit us." I gave her the hours. So I don't know if she'll ever walk through these doors. If she did, I would never call her out. I would never embarrass her publicly. But if you do happen to be watching, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And he's got a plan for your life and whatever you're going through. I don't know what that problem was, but if you're watching or anybody else is watching and you need Jesus in your life, the scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Your life can be different with him in it. All you got to do is call out to him wherever you're at, through whatever trouble you're going through. And that's the same thing that goes for you. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never been born again, you can leave here different. The next storm that you face, you can face it with a God who loves you. Or maybe you've turned your back on him. You just thought the price was too great and I've had too many difficulties and you need a no-so experience. You need to rededicate your life before you leave today. You need to say, "God, I'm through trying to do it on my own. I want you to lead and guide my life." If you're here and you need that today. Or maybe I said, we have onboard assistance because we have the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, as the Bible talks about in Acts. And you want that indwelling, filling, overflowing of the Holy Spirit, that empowerment to help you on your journey. If on any of those three things you have a need in your life, if you need to be born again, you need to rededicate your life, or you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to do this for me wherever you're at. I want you to take a bold step and step out of the aisle down here and come down and meet me down front so that I can pray for you anywhere in this room. We're going to give you a minute while these guys, would you sing something while we give them an opportunity? Anywhere in this room. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I surrender.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Anywhere in the room, if you need to be born again today, you need to rededicate your life, or you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now is your day. Step out and come down here today. If there's a hand anywhere, you just raise your hand and you can. Somebody around you will help you come down here. You just slip your hand up and somebody will bring you down here. Anywhere in this room. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to rededicate my life. Glory to God.
All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Father God, I see no hands today and no one's come down. Lord, I don't know if there's somebody online that's watching or in this room and just couldn't bring themselves to come down. But I pray that the opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior will come again to them, Lord, that you'll send laborers across their path to speak into their life so that they'll be able to have the full assurance to know that they'll spend eternity with you. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We have somebody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hi, sister. How are you? What's your name?
Anna.
Anna. Miss Anna, I'm going to pray for you. And where's Pastor Greg? You see this gentleman right here? This is one of our pastors, associate pastor. This is Pastor Greg. I'm going to pray with you, and then I'm going to send you with him, and he's going to pray with you in depth and give you some information that's going to help you. But I believe today you're going to get everything that you need, everything that you came for today. So, Father God, I thank you for my sister, Lord, that she was bold enough to take a step, to come forward. Lord, for her life to be different, for her life to be changed. Lord, I thank you that she's going to leave here with everything that she desires from you. Lord, that you're going to meet those needs. You're going to fill that place in her life. Lord, I pray that she'll have an overwhelming presence of your love and your peace today like she hasn't known maybe ever. We give you praise for your faithfulness to her in Jesus' name. Would you look at this gentleman right here, ma'am? If you'll go with him right now. Thank you, Pastor Greg. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't Jesus wonderful? Well, thank you for your attentiveness today. We encourage you to be here tonight. And then Wednesday night, Hour of Power, keep our pastors in prayer. Thank you so much. You know how we do things here. The Connection team, if you're a first-time guest, they're going to find you, and they'll take you to the North Lobby to receive your free gift. Everyone else, our worship team's going to sing a chorus as the pastoral staff has a chance to get to the doors. Greet one another. God bless you. Have a great week.